Well, good afternoon. It's a joy to be with you to come and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to stress that just at the beginning of this meeting, this is not a message of religion. This is not a message of works. This is not even a message just of Albert Hall Evangelical Church. In fact, this is not a message of David Hutton at all. But this is a message of Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world to save sinners. And that's the one that I want to speak to you about today. You might have come here often. Maybe this is your first time, I don't know. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, why do we need to hear about Jesus Christ? In fact, why is Jesus Christ all that those people at Albert Hall speak about? In fact, that just reminded me of a question that we read about in the Bible. So if you'd like to turn with me, if you've got a Bible with you, to a section that's not often read in the Gospel, the Song of Solomon, please, and chapter number 5. This is a song, this is a nice story between the love of a man and his wife and their deep love one for the other, the love of one beloved and another. You might think, why are we looking at this? Well, I want to tell you, dear friends in the meeting, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's my beloved. I love him. I love him because he first loved me. You might be sitting there thinking, what's so special about Jesus Christ? What's so special about this one that you love? And that's the exact question that these people asked this woman in Solomon's Song in chapter 5. They say this in verse number 9, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? You see, here at Albert Hall Evangelical Church, I'm sure every week the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. Every week that beloved Saviour is spoken about and he's made much of. And maybe you've come week after week and maybe you're beginning to wonder, what's so special about Jesus Christ? What's so special about this beloved compared with all those other so-called religions of the world? Why not Buddha? Why not Muhammad? Why not the Pope of Rome? Why not any other religions? What's so special about your beloved that you're always going on about him to us? Well, I want to tell you about him today, dear friends. In fact, further down that chapter, that woman, when she goes in to explain about her beloved, when she goes in to describe him, she finishes off by saying this, yea, he is altogether lovely. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is lovely. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is beautiful. Everything about him is precious. Not so with us. Not so with me. You don't know me and I don't know you, but it wouldn't take you long to find out that I'm certainly not altogether lovely. I'm certainly not anything special to look at. But even deeper down in my heart, I'm not altogether lovely. And let me tell you straight from the get-go that Buddha and Muhammad and certainly the Pope of Rome, none of them are altogether lovely. In fact, none of the religions of this world are altogether lovely because they offer you nothing of peace. They offer you nothing of rest. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he's different. That's why we want to speak about him. That's why we want to speak about him and all of his beauty, in all of his loveliness, in all of his comeliness. So if you'd just like to turn with me just for a few verses over to the book of Acts in chapter 2, we'll learn a wee bit more about this blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, there's a man there, Peter, and he was one of the Lord's closest disciples. He walked with him for 3.5 years. He's seen him every day. He's seen him every night. He's seen him in all the ins and outs of his life, and he could say also that he was altogether lovely. Acts chapter 2, and he's preaching the gospel, this same gospel that you're hearing today. He's preaching it to those that were present on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, and we'll read it verse 22. He's speaking to Jews just outside of Jerusalem. That's why he says, ye men of Israel, he says, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Dear friends, that's the message of the gospel in a nutshell. That's the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ in just a few verses. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was that man who was approved of God, God's son. I'm sure maybe you'd have been thinking about it over the Christmas period, that wee baby in Bethlehem's manger, that child that was born, that son that was given, the Son of God that came to be born of that virgin and laid in the manger. And you know, there was a purpose for his coming to the earth. He was come to do the will of his Father. That's why it could say that he was a man approved of God. You see, Jesus Christ, if you look through the Gospels, if you've never read the Gospels, I would urge you to read them. You look through, say, John's Gospel, and you see the beauty of this man. You see his perfection. You see his love. You see his compassion and his grace for those that we wouldn't take 2 seconds to think over. This beautiful man, the one who was altogether lovely, he was a man approved of God. He was the one that would do always those things which pleased God, always those things which the Father would have him to do. You look at him, and then look at yourself, and ask yourself the question, are you approved of God? Ask yourself the question, have you done always those things which God would have you to do? Have you pleased God in heaven? You compare yourself up against his law, the 10 commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Looking on other people's stuff and wanting it for yourself. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Honour your father and mother. Even right from the smallest down at the back of the hall. You see it right from the early days of life. Disobedience to parents. I know I used to be guilty of it, stealing a wee chocolate biscuit for the biscuit tin after you've been told not to. That's all sin. You can flower it up. You can spruce it up. You can try and salvage your own conscience and say, well, it's just harmless. You know, it was just a wee white lie. White lie is still a lie. It goes against God. It goes against the Bible. In fact, it's clear in the Bible, you see, God looks on the heart of every individual. Not just on the outward appearance, but right into the heart, and he sees you for what you are. It says there in the Psalms, you could read about it, that God looked down from heaven, and he's looking for those to see if there's any that understand. You see, there would be people that would try and have you understand and try and have you believe that the God of heaven is distant, and that the God of heaven is aloof and afar off. Don't ever find that in the Bible. He's interested in you. He's interested in your conduct. He's interested even in the secret things that you do. And he looked down from heaven to see if there was any that done right, to see if there was any that done good. And the Bible brings such a condemning truth. He says there was none found. He says there was none good. There was none that seeks after God. There was none of that creation at that time that could have been described as approved of God. In fact, in that psalm, God would have to say, in fact, you know what? They've all together become filthy. They've all together become an unclean thing. And God in his holiness has to be separate from that. Nothing that defiles can enter into God's heaven. And while we've all together become an unclean thing, it's quite a depressing thing to think about. Not easy for me to tell you because you look all very nice to me. But I'm not God. And I don't know you. And friends, it's not me that you stand before in the judgment day, but it's God. And it's not my standard that you're judged against on that day, but it's God's standard. And that's his condemnation upon the whole world, me and you, that we've all together become unclean. You might think, you're talking about good news. You're talking about hope, you're talking about grace, you're talking about love, where's that? Well, while we are altogether unclean, as we've said, I'm here to tell you about the one who is altogether lovely. The one who is altogether beautiful, altogether perfect, altogether desirable, like a diamond. Every way you turn the Lord Jesus Christ, there's beauty. Every way you turn the Lord Jesus Christ, there's light, and there's love, and there's grace. That's why I'm not preaching to you some sort of religion. That's why I'm not preaching to you some sort of cold message, but I'm preaching to you a person. That person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it says in the book of Acts elsewhere, it says, through this man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What about it? What about it today? The forgiveness of sins. The restoration of a relationship with God. What about it? Have you got it? Do you know the forgiveness of sins? Do you know that relationship with God? Personal, intimate. Do you know him? You might come here and hear about him. You might come here and know about him. You might know all the facts and figures of the Lord Jesus Christ's life. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem. Yes, he was hidden in Egypt. Yes, he was back and raised in Nazareth. Yes, he walked in Galilee and done all those wonderful signs and miracles and wonders that Peter was talking about in Acts 2. Yes, he was seen of all those in Israel. Yes, they knew about him. But it's not just about knowing about him. It's about knowing him in your heart. It's about having peace with God. Do you have that? It can be yours today. Through this man today is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Not one of us here could put our hands up and say that we're sinless. Surely not. Surely we're not that deluded. Surely we're not that blind. And what can be done? What can be done about those sins? You might have tried religion in the past and you might have heard those messages, you know, a get well quick, a self-help guide maybe, scrub up your life, New Year's resolutions, do this, this, this and this, and that's you sorted. Give to the charities or come along to a church or just try and keep yourself right. Doesn't measure up to God's standard. You see, God's standard is that righteousness which is of Christ. Which one of us can work towards that? We're altogether become an unclean thing, the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says that even our so-called righteousnesses, they're as filthy rags because we've been doing them with unclean hands. Our hands have been caked in sin, if you like, and you're trying to spruce yourself up. Doesn't it work? Can he do it? We're helpless. Maybe heard some of these old preachers they used to say, we are completely spiritually bankrupt. Don't get two pence to rub together when it comes to spiritual wealth. But not so with Christ. Not so with this man who was approved of God. Not so with this beloved one who's altogether lovely. Bible talks about the riches of his grace. Bible talks about the riches of his glory. Bible talks about his great love with which he's loved me and with which he's loved you. Because that's what we've read in that wee passage. They took him. Those ones that he came to, those ones that he demonstrated those wonderful signs and miracles. He made the blind to see, he made the lame to walk, made the leper clean, he made the dead to live. Wonderful signs. Signs that only God could do. The Son of God, not just a man. Wonderful signs. But even those wonderful signs couldn't take away our sin. The Bible says that sin brings a price to be paid. There's a debt that's owed to a holy God. A perfect life lived. And a perfect life given. None of us have lived a perfect life. So we're out straight away. But the Lord Jesus, he lived a perfect life. Bible tells us he was completely separate from sinners. He was completely pure, completely spotless, completely undefiled. That perfect life. Then it says there that he was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That just means it was all part of the will of God. Why? Because the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he looked down from heaven and saw us in our filth, saw us in our bankruptcy, saw us in our want and in our need. And he knew in his infinite knowledge that we could do nothing for ourselves. But through his grace, he sent the Saviour of the world. So that through that death on the cross, through that shed blood of Calvary's cross outside of Jerusalem, that payment could be made. That perfect life that had been lived. That perfect life that was given. The Bible says that Christ also has once suffered for sins. That's our sins, not his own. The just one for the unjust ones. So that he might bring us to God. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's peace with God, dear friend. That's forgiveness of sins. That's a reconciliation. That's what the Bible talks about. It's a big word. Where two parties that have been apart are brought together. Brought together in the cross of Christ. Not brought together in religion. Not brought together in Albert Hall Evangelical Church. Certainly not brought together by me. But brought together by Christ. How about it? What about it? Can you say that he's your Lord and Saviour? Can you say that you know the forgiveness of sins? You see, in this wee section in Song of Solomon, when that woman, she'd been praising this man, she'd been going on and on about this beloved because she loves him. And that's a bit like us who are Christians. We love the Lord Jesus, and maybe you think we bang on about him, and maybe you've had to ask that question. What's so special about him that you're always going on about him? What is your beloved more than another that you're always charging us about him? And we describe him, we describe that one that's altogether lovely. And you know, after that description, those ones who would have asked that question, they asked a different question. They didn't ask, what is he? No, no. They asked, where is he? They were looking for him. They were seeking after him too. Because they saw their need. Today, do you see your need? Do you see your need for the Saviour? Will you seek after him? You might ask, where is he? Where is he that we might find him? Where is he that we might know him? He's here. He's in his word. We might sometimes sing, I don't know if you sing it here, we sometimes sing over at Linwood a lovely wee gospel hymn that says, come to the Saviour. Make no delay. Here in his word, he showed us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. What about it? Will you come? You might say, how? How can you come? It's easy to hear through this man who's preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. But how? How can we find him? How can we have him? How can we know him? The Bible says if you'll just call out to him, if you'll just seek after him and just fall on your knees before God and acknowledge your sin, acknowledge your bankruptcy, acknowledge you can do nothing, and just call out to him and ask him to save you, and he will. That's his promise, and his promise is sure. Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. What a truth that is, by the way. Not so much just a life lived, not so much just a life given, but a life raised up and a life offered to you and to me. Eternal life, abundant life, true life. Not life that the world gives, not life that the pleasures of sin give that are just for a wee season. But eternal life, an abundant life, life in the risen Saviour, the one who was raised up in the power of an endless life. That's what it says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Impossible for the Lord Jesus to remain dead. Impossible for him to be holding by the chains of death. No, no, on that third day, on that resurrection morning, he rose up and he burst those bands. And he's a risen Saviour today. He was seen by hundreds of people. And he offers life to you. How about it? Have you got that life? Have you got that abundant life? Have you got that eternal life? Have you got that life that's in Christ? You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. That puts a claim upon you. I'm not here to peddle some sort of easy believism, you know. I'm not here to peddle some sort of simple wee sinner's prayer that you might see at the back of some book. As long as you say that, some sort of insurance policy. No, no, we preach Christ. And we preach Christ crucified. And we preach Christ raised again. And we preach Christ as Lord. How about it? Is he your Lord? Is he the master of your life? Is he in the driving seat, as it were? That's what it requires. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you will be saved. Saved from a lost eternity. Saved from an eternity in hell. Because that's where you're bound if you're in your sins. We've spoke about that separation from God. How nothing that defiles can enter into God's heaven. There's only one other destination that the Bible talks about. It's a lake of fire. It's where you're headed. That's where I was headed before the Lord saved me through his grace. Come to the Saviour. Make no delay. This is an urgent thing. This is a serious thing. Can he boast of tomorrow? You've not got tomorrow. Might not even have tonight. We're talking about seeking the Lord. There's a verse in the scriptures that would say, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto his God. Why? For he will abundantly pardon. All those sins, he'll pardon them through this man. This beautiful man, my beloved, this Lord Jesus Christ, through him is preached unto you today the forgiveness of sins. What's your reaction? Will you seek after him? Will you call unto him? Will you call unto his name while you can? Because I need to warn you, as it's my responsibility to preach from the Word of God. The Word of God would say that there's a day coming where they'll seek him and they won't find him. Where there'll be those who would call upon the name of the Lord, but he won't hear. Too late. The day of grace is past. The day of salvation's over. Oh, friend, don't be too late. Good news of the gospel is you can't be too bad. The good news of the gospel is you certainly can't be too good. But oh, friend, the news of the gospel, you can be too late. Don't be too late. Don't put it off. Get life. Get peace. For it's time to seek the Lord. Behold, today's the day of salvation. Behold, now is a time that's acceptable. How about it? Oh, friends, I love him. I've sought to make him big. My Saviour, my Lord Jesus Christ, that one who's altogether lovely, that one who's altogether precious, that one who's approved of God, who lived that perfect life, who gave that perfect life, who shed his precious blood for you, who suffered for sins for you. Price is paid, paid in full. Nothing to be added. Nothing can be taken away. If only you'll come. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Forsake all else and trust him. Trust that this might be a blessing to you and that today you might find him. Because if you do find him, you'll find him to be faithful. You'll find him to be true. And you'll certainly say as well, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. And so may the Lord bless his word. Let's pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we come into your holy presence and we give you thanks for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life. We thank you for the beauties of his person. We thank you that he paid that price on the cross of Calvary. And we thank you there's an offer for all of us here today of life, eternal life, peace with God, forgiveness of sins. Father, we just pray that everyone in this hall might know that peace and that joy of sins forgiven. That they might call upon your name in this acceptable time, Father, before it's too late. Oh God, we pray that you would save our souls today. If there be any outside of Christ, we pray that they'd be brought in. We pray that they'd seek the Saviour. We give you thanks for the words of that wee chorus, come to the Saviour. Make no delay here in his word. He's shown us the way here in our midst. He's standing today tenderly saying, come. We give you thanks for that offer of salvation. That Lord Jesus, that one who would say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any would open up unto him, he would come in. Father, we just pray that he would be in our midst today and be in our hearts, Father, we pray. That every single soul in here might be assured of salvation and a future in heaven. So, our God, we just bring these things before you once again and give you our thanks for the glorious message of the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just pray that in all these things he might have the glory as we give you thanks in his own precious and worthy name. Amen.